All right, this is number seven, and let me go ahead and read this to you. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Okay? We are forgiven. Number two, we are sealed. Now, if I get some mixed up, just don't let it throw you off, because I do it sometimes. We are quickened. Number three, we are reconciled. And then number five, we are predestinated. So this is what I'm going to preach on tonight. This will be number seven. We'll look at five salvation texts here, and we'll work our way through it. We'll work our way through it tonight, okay? All right, so we are forgiven. And let's go to the book of Romans chapter 4, and let's go ahead and get started. In Romans chapter 4, we are forgiven. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be forgiven? If we wasn't forgiven from our sins, we would die in our sins. You agree with me? If you weren't forgiven for your sins, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and have a forgiveness of sin, you'd die in your sins. The worst thing that could ever happen to anybody is for them to die under sin. One of the reasons why we have churches is to reach out to people and show them their need of a Savior and how they need salvation. And salvation is only in one place, and that one place is in Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. If someone's going to be saved, they got to hear the right gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And by trusting that message is the means by which God saves a sinner. Well, we are forgiven. And it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. There's two types of forgiveness that I want to share with you tonight. Two types of forgiveness. Number one, there is judicial forgiveness. In judicial forgiveness is when the Lord saves you, He puts your sin away forever. He puts your sin away forever. It's judicial forgiveness, and it puts away all our sins. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He forgives you for all your trespasses. And if you don't have that, then who's going to make it then? Who in the world would make it then? It has to be a complete forgiveness of sins in order for you to go to heaven. In order for you to be born again, in order for you to have a home in heaven, you must have your sins paid for, and Christ paid for your sins in full. He didn't pray it in half. He prayed it in full. And we call that judicial forgiveness. Now let's look back at Romans 4, and let me read a little bit of this. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 5. Romans 4 and the verse 5. It says, But to him that worketh not. Now let's stop there just for a minute. What does it mean, worketh not? Does God's people work? Well, yeah. Do we work to get saved? No. We work because we are saved. A big difference with regard to that, because you're saved through Christ. You're saved through Christ, and it's a complete salvation. Now watch this now. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. So he imputes. Here's what happens when you're born again. He takes his righteousness. Now watch this now. And he charges his righteousness to you. A. How righteous was Jesus? 100%. And he charges his 100% righteousness to you. And that's the only way you can make it. That's the only way you'll go, is through that particular means. It's all through Jesus, isn't it? Remember the song, The Solid Rock? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's all Jesus. He's the one that done it. Verse 6. How was David saved? We go back to the Old Testament. We're not going to go back to it in this text, but you could go back to Psalms 32 where it's at. It says, but to him that worketh not, verse 5, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is imputed for righteousness. When you go back and look at the book of Revelations in the latter stages, 20, 21, 22 in that area, every one in heaven has on a white what? We got that white robe on. What's that white robe represent? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why you're born again. That's why you're saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He gives to you. As a matter of fact, the text says he washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. He's the one that done it. That's a wonderful place to be right there. Okay? Romans 4, 5 through 8 again. Let's look at it again. Romans 4, 5 through 8. But to him that worketh not, you don't work to get saved. Hey, let me ask you another question. Do you work when you're saved? Well, sure you do. You work for the Lord all your days. You don't do that to get saved, but you do it because you are saved. And you want to represent the Lord well, do you not? You want to represent the Lord well. So it says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. Even as David described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. Now that's just about as plain as you want to put it, I think. About as plain as you want to put, as you want to put it. He imputes his righteousness to you. And that's why those people in heaven have on those white robes, because they have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. All God's people see it. That's a wonderful thing. Look at verse 7 now, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Who did he impute your sin to, though? Who did he impute your sin to? Imputed to Jesus. That's why we sing, Jesus paid it all. That's a wonderful place to be right there. So, as we're looking at this text, the first that we looked at here is we are forgiven. And we've had judicial forgiveness. But you know what? We have another kind of forgiveness I want to share with you. We also have parental forgiveness. We have judicial forgiveness in that the Lord pays for our sin debt and he pays for our debt in full. But we also need another kind of forgiveness. You know what the kind of forgiveness that is? It's parental forgiveness. It's parental forgiveness. What's parental forgiveness? Well, it's when you go to God because of your sin. It's when you go to God because we've sinned against our Father. Do we still sin after we're saved? I can't wait to get a new body to where I'll never sin again, don't you? Won't that be a wonderful time to never have any sin? So, though he paid off our sins in judicial forgiveness, we still need parental forgiveness for fellowship. And what do? I do this. I'm sure you do it every day. I hope everybody here does it every day. Every day of my life, I said, Lord, forgive me for forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for what I've missed. I mean, just think about it. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And the reason why you ask for forgiveness is it keeps you close. That's why you do it. It keeps you closed. Don't keep you saved. It keeps you close. It keeps you close. And we call that parental forgiveness. Is God our Father? Amen. Let me ask you another question. Does he whip you? Does he correct you? Why does he do that for? Because he loves you. And that's part of his keeping. That's part of his keeping power. Is he corrects us. Have you ever had the Lord correct you? Oh, it's a horrible thing. It makes you feel awful. I mean, it hurts your heart. And you know what you ought to do when you feel that? You ask the Lord to forgive you, but you also need to thank the Lord for it because it's evidence that you're born again. If you can go out here and act like a heathen all over the world and or over, all over where you live and there's no change in your life, there's something wrong with you. Scripture says old things pass away, all things become what? You look for people to become new. Not perfect. Not perfect in this life. Perfect in standing in Christ. But we still have the sin problem. And we'll have that all the way till we die, I guess. Don't guess, I know. We'll have that all our life. We'll fight against it. We'll ask forgiveness for it. We'll do all that. Parental forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Does God forgive you every time you come? And here's what it is. Parental forgiveness is a father going to his child. That's what it is. It's a father going to his child. And the child says, Father, forgive me for what I did. And he forgives you every time. That's what he does. And it keeps you, why do we have, what's the purpose of parental forgiveness? It keeps you close to the Lord. Did you hear what I said? It keeps you close to the Lord. If you quit confessing your sins and keep getting worse and worse and worse, you're going to drift farther and farther and farther away. So, that's the difference between the two. You got judicial forgiveness in that God pays for all your sin. Everybody got it? He puts your sins as far as the east is from the west. The east and the west never meet. They never meet. So he completely puts your sins away. But because we're still living in what kind of body? Yeah, we're still living in a weak body, I think. And though we're changed in the new birth, yet we still have to confess our sins. And the purpose of confessing your sins is to keep you close to your Father. That's what it's for. All God's people said, all right, let me move off this. Number two. All right, we are forgiven. And number two, we are sealed. We are sealed. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I need to pick up the pace a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1. Book of Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. I can't read my own writing. 1 verse 11 through 14. Are you ready? It says, in whom ye also trusted. Now, it says in Ephesians 1:13, he's talking about trusting, and that refers to salvation. In whom ye have trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel. Hey, how does someone get saved? It's the gospel. Everybody see the gospel? Power of God to salvation is the gospel. It's the only thing that can save a sinner. In whom you trusted at the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, after you did what? After you believed, what did he do? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's a seal. And you know what it is? It's a mark of ownership. Let me say it one more time because I like it. It's a mark of ownership. If you're here tonight and you've been born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Christ dwells in you. That's a wonderful thing, is it not? I like that big time. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is a mark of ownership. Who owns us? Who do we belong to? We belong to the Lord. So we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful place to be, beloved. It really is. Let me read verse 14, which is the earnest or the down payment. The word earnest in verse 14, you've heard of earnest money, right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? We are. Who paid for us? He did. Whose righteousness has been imputed to our account? Christ did. That's why we say Jesus, sing the song, Jesus paid it all. Isn't that a wonderful salvation? So we are forgiven. We got judicial forgiveness, parental forgiveness, and we are, what else? We're sealed. We are sealed, which is a mark of ownership, showing that you belong to Christ. Oh, God's people say it. I love it. Yeah, that's what, sealed with the Holy Spirit's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. All right? Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's get the third one. We are forgiven. We are sealed. And then number three, we are quickened, Ephesians 2. Quickened. Quickened by, the word quickened means to be made alive. That's exactly what it means, okay? Ephesians 2, it says, and you hath he quickened. Who or what? What's it say you was? I'm just asking. What does it say you was before you was born again in chapter 2, verse 1? It says we were dead. Dead physically? No. Dead how? Yeah, spiritual dead. Yeah, you were dead spiritually. You were dead in trespasses. And in sins. That's where I was at too. That's where we all was at. Dead in trespasses and in sins. People need to realize the condition that they're in. Because a lot of people think they're pretty good. No. You're dead. I mean, when you say you're dead, that's just about as bad as it can get, don't you think? You were dead in trespasses and sins. And let's read on. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of the world. You lived like the world. You did like the world. Tells you how you used to be. This is a description of how you used to be. According to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conduct, conversation means conduct, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, and we were by nature children of wrath. Now, why am I giving you all that for? So you can see the shape you was in. So you can see the shape we was in before. Who made the change in us? Well, the Lord did. Lord's the one that made the change in you. Verse 13 tells you what happened. Let me show you what happened in verse 13. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now, everybody say, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. He made you near by the blood. And he's still doing it all the way down to the day. Did we earn it? Nope. Did we deserve it? Nope. It was by grace that the Lord saved me. And it's by grace that the Lord saved you. Who gets the glory for all of it? The Lord does. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. Let me read a little bit more. It says, but God was rich in mercy. Ephesians 2, 4. God was rich in what? You know what mercy is, don't you? Let me say it one more. You know what mercy is? It's getting what you don't deserve. You know, sometimes people throw themselves on the mercy of the court. It's getting what you don't deserve. If I got what I deserve, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell, but I didn't get what I deserved. God gave me His mercy. And I like it. That's a wonderful thing. For He is our peace, who has broken the middle wall, hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Okay? So, we are forgiven, we are sealed, and we are quickened. That's the three that we've looked at so far. And now number 4, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 5 and verse 10. Then I got one more and I'll quit. I'm giving you a lot at one sitting, but it's pretty, I think. These things, again, are priceless, as I told you. Romans 5 and verse 10. What were we before we were saved? Yeah, that's true too, wasn't it? And notice what it says in Romans 5:10. Nobody likes to say this one. You ready? Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, before you were born again, you was a what? It says you was an enemy. You in pretty bad shape then, wasn't you? That's why people need to be born again. That's why they need it. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Reconciliation is being brought into a friendship with God, a fellowship with God. We were enemies, but now by His grace we've been reconciled by the death of His Son. Mike Shamlin, he gave his son for somebody like me. I can't fathom that. I can't. I believe it. I know it. I can't fathom it, though. Because I can tell you right now, Jeff Arthur never deserved that. I didn't at all, but he did. I was an enemy, and he took and he reconciled me to God. That chills me to the bone, it does. I think it's the most wonderful thing there is. He reconciled me. I went from being an enemy. Here's what I went from being an enemy to being God's friend. It's a wonderful thing. He reconciled us. He reconciled us. What a wonderful thing to do for us. So, we are quickened and we've been reconciled. We went from being an enemy to being a son. What He did. That's what He did for us. Okay? All right, I'm going to give you 4, and then I'm going to give you the 5th one. Number 1, who we are in Christ. That's what we've been looking at for about 7, for about 7 weeks. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. We are sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when He takes a boat in your heart, He never leaves. When He takes a boat in your heart, He never leaves. So we are sealed. We are quickened. That means we was made alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but He made us a what? Made us alive. Who's the only person can do that, though? Only the Lord can. He'll make you alive, though, buddy. It's a wonderful thing. Number four, we are reconciled. We are reconciled. That means we've been brought into a position of peace with God. I was an enemy. Now I'm a son. That's where I'm at now. Isn't that wonderful? Why am I doing all this? So you see how great your salvation is. It's overwhelming. I got 50 of them we're going to look at by the time this is done. But man, it overwhelms me when I look at it, what he done for me. All right, number five. Ephesians 1. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, and then I'll stop with this one so it won't be too awful windy this evening. Sometimes you can give too much at one setting, and I try not to do that. I try to give as much, and then I'll cut it off, and then you can think about it. The last "we are" statement tonight is we are predestinated. We are predestinated. Everybody see that? Now, I want to show you, the reason why I want to show you this is to let you know that this is a Bible word. It's a Bible word, the word predestinated. I mean, you don't have to be afraid of predestination because it's a Bible word, for crying out loud. And it's a good word. And that's why I'm going to share a little bit with you here in Ephesians 1. All right? Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail with it because give you a lot of one setting. But let's look at verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, what he does in verse 3 is he's going to swing down here and give you some of those blessings. He's going to tell you what these blessings are. He tells you, he mentions the spiritual blessings in verse 3 of Ephesians 1. But now he's going to tell you what they are. You see, he's talking about spiritual blessings. Now here's your first one. According as he hath chosen us in him. Stop. According as he has chosen us in him. Who's the him? It's in Christ. He's chosen us in Christ. Chose you? Chose you? It says, according as he's chosen us in him. When did he determine to choose you? And what I want you to do is look at verse 4. According as he's chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. Amen. That we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Amen. Did we deserve that? No. Who did it? Who done the saving? I'm asking. Who gets the glory for the saving? Jesus does. There was a day in my life when the Lord opened my eyes. I was blinded. I was living like the devil, boy. Trouble all the time, all these kinds of things. But I tell you what, when the Lord saved my soul, it changed me. I ain't the same no more. I love the spiritual things of God. I love the Lord. I do. Love God's people. I do. Love to do his work. I do. And it's the greatest thing in the world to be able to serve the Lord all your days here on this earth. That's what I want to do. I don't want to waste. I don't want to waste my time. I fear wasting time. I don't want to waste time. I want to take the time I have and use it for His glory. Really do. So we are predestinated. Now let me read 3 through 7 and then I'll quit. If I done said I quit once, it's my second quitting. All right, let me go ahead and give you the last step. Are you ready now? According as He chose us in Him, when did He do it? When did He choose you in Him? I'm just asking you. Before the foundation of the world, that's what it says. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now we go to verse 5, having predestinated, predetermined to save you. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He adopted you as a child. Who paid the price for you? Jesus did. He paid the price. You couldn't pay it. For us to go to heaven, He had to come and leave glory, live a perfect life, die on the cross, and rise again the third day. He had to do that. You didn't save yourself. He saved you. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children, we've been adopted by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He's made us accepted in the Beloved. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. Now let me close with this. Who's the Beloved? That's Jesus. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. The only way you can go to glory is to trust in the Beloved. You're accepted in the Beloved. So if you're outside the Beloved, you're not going to be accepted. You got to be in Christ. If anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. We'll stop with that.